Wherever you live in West Texas, whether in Lubbock or in Abilene or at our home here in Wichita Falls, we thank you today for listening. The program is about the culture of America and not simply about politics. We try to dig down deeper than simply the political scene, even though much of it has to do with what's taking place in politics. And we turn attention right now to Stockton, California. Now, before we do, I want to make mention of the fact that we're having a special guest coming up, and he's going to be joining us once a month. And his name is Mark Bigham. Mark Bigham is the founder of Affluence Insurance in Dallas, Texas, and he is a political man. He's also one who is a really intelligent young man who stays current with all of the issues going on, and we're going to have him once a month. He just has great commentary on what's taking place all across not only the state of Texas, but also in Washington, D.C. So Mark Bigham will be coming up in just a few moments, about 10 minutes from now, matter of fact. All right, let's go to Stockton, California. Bankrupt is the city of Stockton, and it is, however, going to be the first United States city to guarantee, have you read this, universal basic income to low-income residents. Now, Stockton has double the state average of unemployment, and half of those that are working receive only minimum wage. That's according to G. Edward Griffin in Need to Know News. The mayor is Michael Tubbs, 26-year-old man, who's leading the plan to give low-income families $500 per month. And he says this, "I think it will make people work better and smarter and harder and also be able to do things like spend time with their families because we're not robots." Now, the plan is going to be funded by the Economic Security Project. They're contributing $1 million for the first year as a pilot program. Families that receive the money will be monitored to see what they do with the money and how it affects their self-esteem and identity. The Economic Security Project is co-led by Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, as you know, last year said such a scheme will make a new contract between government and the citizens. Now, not only is Stockton, California thinking about this, but so also is Oakland, California. They're thinking on a broader scale, and that city plans, or at least it's in the stages now where it's on the drawing board, to give about $1,500 a month to a handful of welfare recipients. And the goal is to study how financial health affects low-income families. Well, what about guaranteed income? Let's think about this for a moment. Let's talk about it. Now, besides the fact that our Constitution has absolutely outlawed such a state of affairs, but who cares what the Constitution actually says anymore, right? Why should Americans be concerned with our continual experiments into the land of socialism? Well, number one, America is already a welfare state. This is something that is not widely recognized, or not widely confessed, at least, by especially many on the left. Close to three-quarters of the federal budget is due to government-run social welfare spending. As a matter of fact, when looked at in total, per capita, America is the second largest welfare state in the world. That's right. Inclusive in this is housing, health care, pension benefits, public education, and of course, a host of other expenditures that go on and on, as we can all testify. Robert Rector, senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, argues this way. Contrary to conventional wisdom, noted scholars, and he's quoting Erwin Garfinkel, Lee Rainwater, and Timothy Smeeding. Those are the guys' names who write a book called Wealth and Welfare States. Is America a Laggard or Leader? That welfare state programs are quite large in the United States. And that is, of course, the conclusion of their book. It's a large welfare state. According to PolitiFact.com, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid collectively amount to the majority, now listen to this, the majority of federal spending. Now, that is a direct quote. Now, added to that, Added on top of that is spending on food and agriculture, and the percentage continues to rise. But military spending, which is the only really of these things that we've talked about here, the only constitutionally authorized spending among these categories, is only 16%. So the bulk, the lion's share of the budget at the federal level is already spent on welfare. Now, the point is very simple. Ladies and gentlemen, America is a welfare state, the second largest in the world. Many students in high schools are living in subsidized housing. They eat free lunch or reduced lunches. They live on welfare checks. They bear and father multiple children, and all at the taxpayer expense. And the social problems associated with all of these federal expenditures are increasing, not decreasing, because the basic truth is the more money that one throws at a particular problem, that problem grows. Have you noted that? The more money that you throw at a problem, that problem grows. So what is the problem? The problem is, they say in Stockton, California, it's poverty. Throw money at poverty, what happens? Poverty grows. Why is that the case? Why does it work that way? Well, we'll talk about some of that in a few moments, but I think people can see how it automatically will attract people to that. Let me just jump ahead here. In 1967, California began the Medicaid program in California called Medi-Cal, and they lined up 1 million people that were to use it. Do you know within 2 years, 1969, there were 2.5 million people in California signing up on Medi-Cal? Now, what happened? That many more people just slumped down into poverty? No! People try to qualify. They try to qualify to get the free handouts. That's how it works. And why it is that people in California, and across America too, not just California, across America don't seem to understand that is really puzzling. Now, second thing I want to make mention of is that a guaranteed income ignores man's ability to make life choices and allow people to bear the fruit of their own choices. Now, I am not trying to say that everything negative that occurs to people is always the direct result of their own personal mistakes. That certainly is not the case. However, God has so constructed the world that negative consequences are actually built into the system so that our choices will bring about negative fruit. I use this illustration frequently with young people. Here are two young men in jail for illegal drug use. Both of them are on the bottom of the income ladder. Now, what are the choices when they are released? Well, let's take the first man, Bob. Bob chooses to continue a life of illicit behavior. He perhaps ruins his health. He bumps along on the bottom of society. He smokes weed. He participates in illegal activities. He has multiple arrests. He doesn't care about his health. He fathers several children. And then when he is 30 years old, he looks like he's 50. The second young man, Joe, he comes out of jail and he decides, you know what? I'm going to change my life. And he's in his early 20s. So he cleans up his life, his associates. You have to change your associates. That's right. You have to. And he gets a job. It's a low-income job, to be sure, to start with, but he's working and living above the law. He studies at night, taking courses in college, online. Several years, he goes to the classes. He sacrifices time, his money, but all of this begins to pay off. He lands a great job after he receives his college degree, and he's now 30 years old. He has a great job. He's able to pay back his loans. He buys a house, a car. He gets married. He has children. Perhaps he has an income of $70,000, $80,000 a year. Now, they're both 30 years old. Bob came out of jail, and Joe, both of them came out of jail in their early 20s, and they were equal. But now, when they're 30, there is income inequality. Now comes in Big Brother government to adjust the inequities between Bob and Joe. Now, I want to know who listening to this will be in favor of forcibly taking from Joe to give to Bob. The lifestyles that they live, or the life situations, the better way to put it, is primarily due to their life choices. And what the government cannot do, and it's if, either it's in Stockton, California, or in Lubbock, Texas, or in Abilene, or in Wichita Falls, is make proper determinations as to why people are in poverty. In other words, God has built poverty into the system to a degree that it is there to teach people to do better. Now, I'm not saying that we want to be heartless and cold because people ask the churches for help, a church of which I'm a member. We always look at people like that, and we always try to make determination. But sometimes people come to the churches, and we know that it's not going to be spent, the money that they've asked for anything good. No, what's happened here? You see, the government is not able to make these kind of decisions, and sometimes poverty is the result of people's life choices. I want to say one more thing about Stockton's program. It's flawed. Ladies and gentlemen, the idea of a guaranteed income level in Stockton, California, or in Wichita Falls is flawed because it ignores the biblical model of man. It is an anti-Christian, overtly anti-Christian doctrine that results when leaders drink from the wells of materialism and atheism instead of God's word. God designed work for man, in which this is how he finds self-esteem. I know that the mayor says, well, we're going to give $500 a month to families for their self-esteem. That's not how people gain self-esteem, by giving them something that they did not earn. You gain self-esteem and self-satisfaction by actually producing. Listen to what Solomon had to say. This is Ecclesiastes 2. There's nothing better for a man that he should find enjoyment in his toil. That is work. Here's another one. This is God's gift to men, that everyone should take pleasure in his work. That's God's gift, to work. People find satisfaction, accomplishment. Or, that's Ecclesiastes 3:13, verse 22 of the same passage says, the best thing for a man is to be happy in his work. This is what he gets out of life. And Solomon went to say, this is man's portion, to work. The New Testament is equally as clear, and that is to say, Paul, the apostle, forbade churches to assist those who should be working themselves. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5. He said, instead, you're creating people who are idle. They go about from house to house, and they are tattlers also. He calls them tattlers also and busybodies. We know that it includes a lot more than that. Look at the violence on the streets. No, what Stockton, California will learn is that not poverty, but idleness. Idleness is a vice. And when you throw money at those who are idle, refusing to work, not to say that every one of them is refusing, but people sometimes have had made life choices and they're in poverty. It is a moral disease caused by a failure of the will that enslaves a person. Doling out money only encourages it. The final stage is people need to be managed like children. So any program that rewards idleness dooms itself to self-image in the self-image realm. On the other hand, real self-esteem, it's found in accomplishment, no matter how little. And that's why in the early part of America, the communities as well as the churches all pooled together. And when people needed help, they're willing to help them. But here's what they needed to do. They needed to come in. The men needed to chop wood. They would say, women, you need to go in the sewing room. And if they could not, if that case was such that they could not work at all, then, of course, that would be a charity case. But most of the time, the men worked and the women were able to work as well. And they earned what they were given. So what happens when you throw money at a problem? It simply grows. Throwing money at poverty means poverty will grow. What's going to happen in Stockton? We know what's going to happen in Stockton. People are going to try to qualify to get that extra money per month. I've seen it right here in Wichita Falls. I've had friends who quit a second job simply because it might disqualify them from getting a welfare check. Ladies and gentlemen, this is wrong. It's wrong-headed. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. I told you that we have a special guest, and we plan to have him once a month. He's a great Christian gentleman, Mark Bigham. He is the principal of Affluence Insurance, the founder of it. He's involved in politics, and he has a sharp eye on what's going on in Washington, D.C., is also in Texas politics, and it's always good to hear him. And, Mark, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
You know what, Mark? You know, there's so much happening in Washington, D.C., and it's just I know you're a business owner, and You know, you try to have less government involvement and all that, but what we're seeing is just this the gigantic government that is seems to be completely out of control. Is that how you're thinking?
Absolutely. It is it is total chaos in Washington, D.C. right now. I think, you know, Trump has gone up there to change the way things operate, and I think people are just absolutely flipping out up there. Then the more they've pressed on this Russia collusion thing, the more we found out that the collusion was really coming from the Democrats. And the more they've investigated, the more they've indicted themselves. And I think they're just becoming very, very desperate up there, because what's coming out it does look pretty desperate.
You know what I see? I have it right in front of me. Matter of fact, this article, it's in the New American. It's by it says the Intel Committee Chairman Nunez says there's a clear link from the DNC and the Clinton campaign to Russia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Part of the information that was provided for that dossier came from Russia, and which is collusion in itself. And the fact now that's coming out, this Adam Schiff guy, this congressman from the 20th District of California, apparently he's even been over to Russia himself on Russia television talking about our intelligence and trying to gather evidence on our president. And so that was just mentioned a couple times the last couple days, and I can't believe why aren't more Republicans talking about this. I mean, the collusion on the part of the Democrats and Russia is enormous. The evidence is enormous, and after more than a year of investigations and billions of dollars spent, we still do not have one shred of evidence that there was any collusion at all between the Trump administration, his campaign, or his government at all, and Russia. Nothing.
Well, why do you suppose that, like, Jeff Sessions is not just doing something, Mark?
That's what's so frustrating. You know, Jeff Sessions has the law on his side. We have the Senate. The Republicans have the Senate. They have the Congress. They have the White House. I am dismayed, and I continue to be dismayed every day why Jeff Sessions is not being more aggressive. And what on top of all this, it seems like, you know, the Congress has been doing the heavy lifting in a lot of the investigations. And as I understand it, of course, the Congress does not have the power to charge on a criminal indictment or anything like that, but they're doing all the heavy lifting in the investigations, not the Department of Justice. And so they're handing all this information to the Department of Justice on a silver platter, and Sessions has done, so far anyway, he's done absolutely nothing with it.
I cannot understand that.
And that's why I call Jeff Sessions, he is my definition of the old guard Republicans. You know, when I grew up as a Republican, I consider myself a Ronald Reagan Republican, and I remember when I was young. Even when I was young, I was always questioned why the Republicans wouldn't fight more for what they believe in and have a little bit more spine up there. And Jeff Sessions, he's part of this ilk. He goes up there and stands for nothing, fights for nothing, smiles and beats and tries to be a gentleman. I guess he thinks it'll all blow over. But and that's not the way it works anymore. It may used to work that way 50 years ago, but not anymore. And I saw him in a press conference the other day. I forgot what the topic was. But just his physical mannerisms even made him look like he was totally in over his head. His eyes were as big as saucers. He looked like a deer in the headlights. He looked like he was scared half to death about the entire subject matter. Physically, he looked scared.
You know, I've seen pictures of Adam Schiff looking that way too.
Well, Adam Schiff needs to be looking that way. And why aren't more Republicans talking about all the lies that he's perpetuated? He went on TV for a week and told us how this FISA memo, when it was released, we would have all these we'd be compromising our national security and blah 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 blah. Then when it came out, none of what he said was true at all.
Hey, Mark, did you see the news breaking the last several days about Adam Schiff, that he had these guys posing as different Russian agents that were going to give him a lot of dirt on Trump, and they were just pranksters, and he was setting up secret meetings with them and all that kind of thing. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. You've got to be kidding
me. He had these pranksters that were these comedians that were posing as Russian operatives, and they called his office, had him on the line, and he had a conversation, I don't know, 15 minutes or so with these guys, and then he sent his staff out to meet and pick up the dirt that they supposedly had on Trump. And these pictures, he supposedly had a bunch of pictures of Trump with women and, you know, a bunch of compromising shots. And so, but that was Schiff.
Why is it just being broadcasted, you know, from 8 a.m. to midnight on some of these? I don't get it.
I don't either.
I haven't heard about this on Fox.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is. I mean, it's out of control. Now, did you see also that Obama's name has been edited out of some of the memos that are running back and forth between the FBI and the DOJ back during Obama's tenure?
Yes, and just now, the last few days, I've heard some people talking about how much he knew and, you know, did he know? Of course he knew. You know, it's no coincidence that during the Obama era, which we're kind of still kind of in, because I still think he has more control of a lot of our government than Trump does, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's no surprise. During Obama, the IRS was weaponized against its citizens. The Department of Justice has. The FBI has been. He has weaponized huge sects of our government against our own people all during the Obama administration. You can't sit there and tell me he knew nothing about it.
You know what? I feel exactly the same way. I mean, you know, everybody, the top levels in the FBI, the top levels in the DOJ, they've all been covering, and they all knew about it. Then we have a Clinton, a Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac with Loretta Lynch, and supposedly offering her a position on the Supreme Court, and just on and on and on it goes. And now you have this information that Obama has, he was actually mentioned in the FBI text with this the Lovebird couple that said that POTUS wants to know all that we're doing.
Yep, absolutely. Now, if that was said of Trump, they said, "Oh, he's obstructing justice." If he wants to know about it, but you know, that's no surprise to me at all, because you know, during the entire Obama administration, Obama told people exactly what they wanted to hear, but it had nothing to do with actually what he actually did, and it became so obvious. But there was such a lack of reporting for 8 years. From the press on what he was really new, and very few people have really drawn the line between the two, that there was absolutely no relation about what he said and what actually happened. Remember when he had that interview about the IRS? He said there was not a smidgen of corruption in the IRS.
Yeah.
And we knew that to be so entirely false. I mean, I forget what her name was that was brought up in this whole thing, but she even blew the whistle herself a little bit. To start this whole scandal.
Yeah, now, you're saying that Obama just lied and lied.
Yes, yes. And he's, exactly. Yeah. I don't think the guy knows how to tell the truth.
I don't think so either. You know what? Here's the thing that really gets me. And all of this is about spying on Americans. You mentioned it a moment ago. Just a violation of our Constitution. I think on Tucker Carlson, on one of his segments recently, he just pointed out, I think, the obvious truth, and this is all treasonous.
Absolutely, it is.
And why don't they start indicting people? I think I was talking to you earlier, and you mentioned something about how quickly they wanted to get in there and get after Trump, and it didn't take just a suggestion, and they were all over it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't get it. It's just the bar has been set so low to go after those Republicans. I mean, Trump wasn't in office but a few weeks, and they were raiding General Flynn's home.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever recall something like that happening during the Obama administration to any Democrat or bureaucratic official? No.
No. No, I don't. No.
And the Republicans are in power only a few days, and they are raiding their homes.
That's crazy.
And General Flynn, I mean, oh, yeah, he's been charged with lying to FBI. Well, you know, how many other people can we think of has been lying before Congress under oath? I don't care if you're under oath to Congress or under oath to FBI. When you're under oath, you're supposed to tell the truth, nothing but the truth.
Right.
And our government officials have not done that over and over, i.e. Eric Holder.
Yeah. You know what? I did want to, I had something about Eric Holder I wanted to talk to you about. But, you know, before we do that, let's take a break. And we'll come back in just a few moments. And we're talking with Mark Bigham, who is the principal of the insurance company called Affluence Insurance out of Dallas, Texas. We'll be back with Mark in just a moment.
Thank you.
Welcome back to American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. We are talking with Mark Bigham, who is the principal of Affluence Insurance. We're talking about the scandals in Washington, D.C., and there are many scandals. And we've been talking about some of the things that's been happening regarding Adam Schiff, and Obama's name has come up, and Jeff Sessions and others like that. And it's just out of control crazy. But hey, Mark, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned before we went to break about Eric Holder and Eric Holder running for office. What do you think about Eric Holder now saying he might run for president?
Yeah, well, remember, and I was mentioning to you a few minutes ago, remember, Obama called him his wingman. And remember, he went and testified before Congress, Eric Holder did, on several occasions, and he was found in contempt of Congress, which means he lied to Congress. He lied under oath. So he's the same ilk, the same fabric that Obama is made of. And so if he were to be in office, it'd be 8 more years of Obama.
You know what? I have a list here. I saw this on Twitter. Someone pointed out, just listed the scandals that he was involved in, the Fast and Furious, calling the Fort Hood shooting workplace violence. He tapped AP reporters' phones. We were talking about that a moment ago.
Right, right. He tapped AP reporters' phones. And you know what the funny thing is, Bill? I talked to some of my liberal Democrat friends. Some of them are very good friends of mine, and they're very intelligent, which is so incredulous to me. But I have one of my, and she's, I have one girlfriend of mine. She's a very well-known attorney in Texas, and she says to me, she goes, you know, the thing about Obama is, all through his term, he did. There was not one scandal.
Oh, my.
And I was like, what? How could you come to that conclusion? Where was your head for 8 years? She hears that from the likes of MSNBC, Rachel Maddow. So if Rachel Maddow says that, it must be true.
Oh, boy.
But the narrative that they get from some of these news stations is outright, they know they're not telling the truth.
They've got to know it. Yeah. How about the fact that Eric Holder targeted Fox News to James Rolson? Remember that scandal?
Yes, they tapped his phone. They tapped his parents' phones. And you're right, they also tapped the AP. And then now the press screams like, oh, they're being so... being taken advantage of, that the atmosphere now is more dangerous than it's ever been. Well, what happened? Where were you guys when the AP, the entire Associated Press, was spied on, and some of the reporters that were finding dirt on you had the lines tapped?
And how about this one? How about the fact that Eric Holder dropped the lawsuit against the Black Panthers, the new Black Panthers, who are guarding or actually threatening people at voting booths?
Yes, I remember that vividly now that you bring that up. That was one of the very first things that happened after Obama won. And I knew when that happened, we were in deep trouble.
That's right.
For I don't care what color you are, if you are intimidating someone from casting their vote, you should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That's not what's happening and what happened under Obama.
And, you know, Eric Holder's, I mean, he opposed voter ID laws. He purged references to radical Islam. Do you remember the FBI transcript story where he took all references to Islam out? Yeah.
Right.
Removed them.
He's an Islamic sympathizer. That, absolutely, that's correct.
So, I mean,
and I don't care what you say, Bill. If you are against voter ID laws, that means you're against democracy, in my opinion.
Yeah,
if you are not for making sure that our vote is kept true and honest and transparent, that means you're not for democracy.
Right.
And all this huge Democratic push, you know, against voter ID law. First of all, no one complains about voter ID when they go get welfare checks and chips and all this other form of assistance from the government. But all of a sudden, it becomes racist if you require an ID to vote.
Isn't that crazy?
And that is nothing but trying to subvert democracy for your own benefit. And our Republican colleagues up in the Capitol Hill and all of us need to start calling a spade when that happens, because there's nothing more to that agenda than that.
And how about John McCain? What do you think about John McCain? I understand. As a matter of fact, I've seen one news report said that he's one of the leakers.
Yeah, I think so, too. I hate to say this. I grew up as a youngster in Arizona, and so I've been kind of reading reports about Senator John McCain for many years. There's something very deep-seated wrong there. I imagine he may have been offended over what Trump said about him being caught, not being a hero, but I think that McCain has become obsessed with that, and he's one of the enemies of our state right now, in my opinion. He's the enemy of the Republicans, that's for sure.
Well, you know, Mark, he voted against Obamacare when it was Obama in office, but when it came to time when the vote counted, he voted for it.
Yeah, he voted for it, and I saw reports and saw where he was over there hugging on crying Schumer and all those other people. It seems to be so important for him to have admiration from the other side for some reason.
I don't know.
He's one of these old guard Republicans. They get up there, and I don't know what happens to them, but they get up there, and they do not have what's within them to stand up for what their ideals are and fight for what they know is right. They cave to the left, and they've been doing it for almost a generation. And that's one reason why we are in the position that we are in this country today. And I hopefully I won't offend too many people by saying this, but it's because the Republican Party, at large part, for years has stood up and fought for absolutely nothing.
I agree with you. I agree. I mean, we're just, you know, too many soft shells, and I don't know. Hey, before I let you go, Mark, I wanted to ask you about the Uranium One scandal. I mean, we talked about the FISA memos and Devin Nunes and Adam Schiff and all that, but there's another scandal brewing involving Hillary Clinton again with the Uranium One.
Huge, yeah. You know, and I know there's a lot of disagreement and controversy about the facts that led up to it. You know, it all stinks to high heaven. And second of all, if you want to see what collusion may look like, read the articles about what's led up to this Uranium One. You know, the Russians hired a lobbying firm and gave them about $3+ million, according to many articles. You know, this Sarah Carter is quite the reporter. I forget which publication she's with, but she's been doing a lot of work,
she's been doing a lot of years. Job. I've seen her. Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. But she has. They've talked about all the money involved from Russia that hired a U.S. lobbying firm. And a lot of these payments went to the Clintons, supposedly, and the Clinton Foundation, and it happened shortly before this whole thing was approved. But you know what? Let's not get lost in the weeds about what may have been paid to who or who did what. Let's just say the whole thing was on the up and up. My question is, why would anyone in their right mind in this country sell uranium rights in North America, whether it's through a Canadian firm or not, it's not relevant. It's nothing but white noise. Why would we be involved in selling 20% of a rare source used in atomic weapons to our largest enemy, Russia, who we know was helping with the Iranian infrastructure for their nuclear program for years? So let's just forget about arguing and debating about what happened, who got paid. Let's just forget about why would we do that?
I don't know. I think it's treasonous.
And so when
itself.
The whole thing happened, I remember when the whole thing happened when Clinton was still Secretary of State, and I heard there's a couple little articles about it, but I look back and it's like, when I first, I thought, what? What do you mean we would give up some of our own natural resources that has to do with the making of nuclear material to hand it over to Russia and the likes of that it could go to Iran? Why would we do that? That's the biggest question. I mean, and I cannot believe that the Republicans were like incredulous and screaming bloody murder at the time about this whole deal.
I mean, the Clinton participation. It just goes back to me in my mind to that big T word again, treason. I don't see anything other thing than that, really. But
right, and according to the FBI sources, this whole affair got to Obama's daily briefings not once but twice.
Wow.
And he still approved the sale.
Crazy.
So, and, you know, then afterwards, then remember, before he let out, he approved the sale of uranium to the Russians. And then remember, right before he left office, he was flying airplane loads of cash to Iran. If that's not collusion with Russia and our enemy, tell me what collusion is.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm laughing about it, but that's just like... You can't. It's like they say on television so frequently. You can't make this up. It's just so.
No.
It's so bold, and
yeah.
I think it is so inimical to the founding principles of our country and American interest. It is enraging.
It is enraging.
Yeah.
It is enraging, and I don't know. I know Trump is between a rock and a hard spot. You know, I do think he tried to award Jeff Sessions for the loyalty that he had towards him, and he was one of the first senators to endorse him and so forth. But I think it was a major, major misstep of his administration to award the Attorney General post to the likes of Jeff Sessions.
Who would you think that would be good?
And I don't know what he can do now that he's there in office. I mean, my God, if he were to fire Jeff Sessions, can you imagine the firestorm he would get?
Oh, yeah.
Or put him someplace else. But for goodness sakes, I would like to know, who is Jeff Sessions?
Yeah.
There's not a lot on him, but how can this person stand by for so long and have the law on his side, have a friend in the White House, and be the director of the Department of Justice, who has oversight for the FBI as well, I do believe.
Yeah, and he recused himself right away from some of the... I didn't have much hope right there.
Yeah, that's him being in way over his head. He had no reason to. But I'm not a liar, so I really can't comment as much as I'd like to. But
no, you've commented well.
But it's just so frustrating to me that it seems like all of our Republican colleagues they're in positions of power, but they act like they're only a bystander up there.
Yeah. I agree.
And then the Democrats and these bureaucrats who are not in positions of power seem to be controlling more of the agenda, i.e., General Flynn, than anyone else.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah,
well,
I mean, poor General. I mean, General Flynn. He devoted his entire life. He had a distinguished career in the military with this country, and for him to be drugged to the mud that he's been drugged through for as little as whatever his lie was with the FBI is unbelievable as compared to everyone else up there.
Well, listen, Mark, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate your commentary, and we're looking forward to next month having you back with us.
I'd love to come next month. Thank you very much. I would look forward to that.
Okay, Mark Bigham, everybody, principal of Affluence Insurance out of Dallas, Texas. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
All right, thank you, Bill.
You bet, Mark. Welcome back. You know, Mark Bigham is really great, and it's just a joy to have him on the show. He's always been having his hand and his finger on the pulse of what's going on in America, and he knows how to get right down to the issues, and I appreciate him because he's a logical thinker, and it's really great to have him. So we're looking forward to having him on the show, and I hope you are too, because we're changing it up a little bit this year. We'll have him on here and some other different things going on. Right now, before we conclude today, I want to talk about something that's closer to home. This is right here in Oklahoma. Here's the title. This is from Fox News, and this is pretty shocking, alarming, really. It says, sex carnivals, drag queens are welcome, but Ken Ham and other creationists are not. That's what the university says. This is the University of Central Oklahoma. Where is that one? Is that, where's, I'm trying to think what city that's in. I'm ashamed of myself not to be able to say it, but not a huge university, but of Central Oklahoma. The news article says it opens its arms to drag queen shows and safe sex carnivals, but they draw the line at Christians who believe God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. The university apparently has no problem with students tossing dildos through cardboard vaginas, but they draw the line at exposing impressionable young minds to teachings of the creationists. Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis and the founder of the popular Creation Museum and Ark Encounter, was disinvited from speaking on the public university campus after an ugly campaign of bullying by LGBT activists. I get so tired of people saying, well, they're just all peaceable, love, peace-loving people. No. They're playing hardball politics. Well, we're getting currently bombarded with complaints from our LGBT community about Kim Ham speaking on our campus. Student body president Stockton Duvall wrote on January 25th, well, so what? So what? We're going to shut down free speech? We're just going to leave the very basic principles of any kind of decency and biblical Christianity at all? Here's what Stockton Duvall wrote. He said student body president. He said, I was going to request that Mr. Ham refrain from talking on this issue, even if it is asked during the question and answer session. Ham was scheduled to deliver his remarks March 5th on the university in Constitution Hall. Ham said, I find it highly ironic that after being booked to speak in the school's Constitution Hall, our constitutional right to free speech and the exercise of religion guaranteed under the First Amendment have been denied. Well, I know this looks awful, censoring certain parts of Mr. Ham's views, Duvall writes. This is the student body president now. He said that it looks awful, censoring certain parts of his views. I want to ensure that we stay on the topic of the research Mr. Ham and his team have done over creationism. What difference does it make? What difference does it make, Stockton Duvall, whether or not a person is an expert in a particular area or not? Is that what we're going to do, only have those who are doctors in a particular area to be able to speak? This is absolutely ridiculous. And how many of the people of the LGBT community are actually qualified to speak with some kind of doctor degree about who should speak or what the views should be or what he might say? This is just crazy. For the record, Ham's university lecture was titled Genesis and the State of the Culture. Now, Paul Blair, he's been on this radio program with us before. He is a preacher at the local church that sponsors the student ministry called Valid Worldview. He said Ham's speech had nothing to do with LGBT issues. But I'm going to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it does or not. You ought to be able to speak. The backlash we're already receiving is quite immense, and I do not want this event to be spoiled due to the topic that isn't relative to Mr. Ham's research of creationism, Duvall wrote. They're just running. This is an example. This is exactly what Mark and I were talking about in the segment. The people who are on the right are running scared continually, and it's right here in Oklahoma. This is the University of Central Oklahoma, right up the road. I tell you what, we ought to write these people. If you want to get, we're not just about Washington, D.C. This is going on right here. We need to do something about it. This is absolutely incredible to see our freedoms completely lost because of the threats of the left. If you're in Wichita Falls, the radio station is KWFS. It's News Talk 1290, newstalk1290.com. In Lubbock, it's KFYO. It's News Talk 790. It's KFYO.com. And in Abilene, it's KYYW 1470. That's 1470, KYYW.com. You can find everything here at American Liberty with BillLockwood.com. We thank you today for listening.